Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
He writes the beast, the best draft breakdown you're going to find for The Athletic, and you can go read it. Dane, great to have you with us.
Hey, Dane.
Anything going on today, guys?
Nothing. Kind of weird.
Luka Doncic got traded.
Yeah, the truck is leaving from Cleveland to go out to Arizona for baseball.
Yeah, and the Cavs are playing the Celtics tomorrow.
Yeah. What are you doing?
There you go. They're doing well. Yeah. No, we're in the thick of draft season, but it's amazing how the NFL, even in the off season, just commands the headlines. And yeah, the trade request by Myles Garrett. I mean, this has to be the most high profile player that I can remember that has in any sport that has come out with a trade request like this. You know, at least in a long time, and so. You know, it's just it's tough. It's the just the latest trickle down effect of the disaster that has been the Deshaun Watson trade, and unfortunately, it's not going to be the last. I mean, I think this organization's going to be feeling the effects of that decision for several more years. And I think that when you look at it from that perspective, you kind of see where Myles Garrett is coming from. Because all he cares about is winning right now. He's won the individual awards. He's, you know, he's already viewed as one of, if not the best defensive player in the NFL. And so he wants to win Super Bowls. And I think he looks at the landscape of the organization and says, I need to go elsewhere to do that. And it doesn't look like a quick fix right now with the Browns organization. And that's really unfortunate because I think the quarterback position has really sunk them.
Let me turn to your area of expertise on this one. Combine this for me. You have a 29-year-old defensive end, Pro Bowl talent, defensive player of the year, but he's 29. Is he worth two first-round picks in a trade? Is he worth more?
There's no question.
Is he worth more?
Yeah, I mean, he is worth more. I don't know if you're going to get that. And obviously, we're going to hear a lot of people talking about what they should get in a return. Your value is whatever the market's willing to pay for you, plain and simple. And so, obviously, Miles wants to go to a contender that's going to eliminate plenty of teams. But if there are enough 4, 5, 6 teams that are considered contenders that are in the mix for this, then all of a sudden that trade compensation, you know, it could be pretty healthy. You know, it being a 29-year-old will be 30-year-old pass rusher. But he still is going to be one of, if not the best defensive player for the next 2, 3, 4 years. And there are plenty of general managers that are not looking beyond the next 3, 4 years. They want to win now. And so You know, if you're the Falcons, if you're the Commanders, if you're the Lions, there's plenty of teams that should be in this mix. And, you know, I think there would be no shortage of calls and offers. It's just a matter of, will the Browns hear anything that really piques their interest? Will they hear a deal that says, you know, we can't turn this down? I don't know if that's going to be, if they'll actually get three first rounders, but if you get two firsts and maybe two more day two picks, it would be tough to turn that down in the right situation.
Hmm. How does this change what you think might be the Browns' game plan going into the draft? Does it?
I don't think it changes anything, to be honest. When you have the number two pick in the draft, I mean, first and foremost, the quarterback position, it's a need on this team. We know that.
Right.
If you believe in any of these quarterbacks, that's your pick at two. It doesn't matter if Myles Garrett is on the roster or not. If you believe that there is a quarterback in this draft who is going to help you win games, compete for the division, and be the long-term future of your franchise, that's your pick at number two, regardless of anything else. If you do deal Myles Garrett, I don't think anything else changes, because at number two, you're not thinking about need. You're thinking about what's the best player that's going to impact our roster. Now, obviously, an edge defender, a pass rusher becomes much more of a need on the roster, but you're still looking for impact players. This is an organization, this front office, you know they're going to want to move back first and foremost. If they're not going to draft a quarterback at two, which right now, February 3rd, I don't think they're drafting a quarterback. That's just, you know, my gut feeling right now, just because this is not a great quarterback class. They're going to look to move back first and foremost to get more draft picks. And, you know, this is a class where, you know, there's plenty of solid talent, just not a lot of elite talent. But they're going to be in a position to get better with that early pick. And I don't think a Myles Garrett trade is going to affect what they plan to do early.
Dane Brugler is joining us from The Athletic, The Beast, his draft guide. Go read it. You'll be a much, much more educated football fan by doing so. Tell me how good Abdul Carter is.
Yeah, Abdul Carter, you can make an argument, is the best player in the draft. You know, you want pass rushers that affect the quarterback, affect the backfield, and he does that on a consistent basis. And, you know, this is a guy that going to Penn State was kind of an off-ball linebacker. This year, they moved him to more of an edge defender, and it took a little bit. It wasn't, you know, a seamless transition, but throughout this college football season, he got better and better and better. And anybody that watched his performance in the playoffs, you know, especially in that final game against Notre Dame, I mean, he was, with a bum shoulder, he was playing his best ball, leaving it all out there, playing at a very high level. So not the biggest guy, like he's not the size of a Myles Garrett, but he has exceptional get off. He creates a ton of force because of that initial momentum that he creates. He can win in different ways. He can drop, he can play the run. So, you know, in this draft class, you can make the argument he is the best player. And if he doesn't go at one, he will absolutely be in the mix for the Browns at number two.
What did you learn about the Browns at the Senior Bowl? Anything like striking you? Like you walked out there and go, oh, that's right up the Browns' alley.
You know, I think I was actually standing next to Coach Stefanski on the sidelines during practice for Wednesday's practice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was watching the quarterbacks, keeping a close eye. And, you know, no surprise there. This is a team that's going to be looking at their quarterback options. And this is such a unique quarterback class because, like I said, it's the top of the draft doesn't have, you know, the guys like we saw last year when we saw quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, plenty of teams would have the top quarterbacks in this draft class behind the first six that were drafted last year. You know, it's a different quarterback class. And so you're really doing your due diligence on the second rounders, the third rounders, guys like Tyler Shuck from Louisville, from Jackson Dart, from Ole Miss, Jalen Milroe from Alabama, the non-Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders quarterbacks that are, you know, if you go with an Abdul Carter at two overall, then maybe on day two, you take a flyer on one of these guys, someone that's not going to keep you from drafting a quarterback high in the draft in 2026 if it doesn't work out, but still someone that has talent and that might be able to ascend, give you promise at that position. So, you know, I think, you know, this is a draft where quarterback's going to be mentioned a lot for the Browns, and I think it's all about fit. You know, who do they, you know, Coach Stefanski talk a lot about, they feel good. It doesn't matter the type of quarterback, you know, what their strengths are as a quarterback, they can mold the offense around them. And so I think it's interesting when you look at this quarterback class, who do they feel can come in, grasp the offense, and really give them a competition, which is, I think, what they're looking for.
Dane Brugler joining us from The Athletic, The Beast, his draft guide out. Read it. It's outstanding. Tell me, we hear a lot about the top two guys at quarterback in this draft, Sanders and Cam Ward. Is there, in your estimation, Dane, a huge drop-off to that next group of guys, or is it a little closer than people are being led to believe?
Yeah, well, and I think it's important for everybody to remember, like, there isn't, like, a set pecking order here where everyone's going to have the same quarterback one, everyone's going to have the same quarterback two, and so on and so on. I mean, Cam Ward is not going to be the consensus number one quarterback for all 32 teams. That's just not how this works. And same thing with Shedeur Sanders at two. Shedeur Sanders might be the fourth or fifth best quarterback for some teams. You know, it's not going to be a consensus. And so I think when you look at some of the other quarterbacks in this class, whether that's, like I mentioned, Jackson Dart, who has plenty of tools. Now there's a lot of questions about, you know, can he make full field reads? How quickly can he adapt to an NFL style offense? You know, Tyler Shuck is a seventh year senior. There's questions about how quickly he sees the field. Jalen Milroe is not quite NFL ready. It's going to take time for him to develop. So, and then, you know, even Will Howard from Ohio State, Kyle McCord, Syracuse, Quinn Ewers, Texas, Riley Leonard, Notre Dame. There's a lot of other quarterbacks besides the two that get mentioned the most. And I think it's important to remember that, again, we're going to have a lot of different orders from team to team, how they view these quarterbacks. And it's all about fit. I can't emphasize that enough. Some teams are going to look at what one quarterback offers and say, okay, yeah, we like the big play potential that Cam Ward offers, while another team might look at him and say there's just too much looseness to his game and maybe it doesn't fit what we want to be, our identity as an offense. So, you know, I think we have to look at it in those terms where every team is going to have a very different quarterback order based off of their scheme, where they are in their roster build, all these determining factors that will affect how they stack the quarterbacks.
Another Mobile question. I just want to ask you, just because he's a local guy who played at Bowling Green, tight end Harold Fannin Jr., who played for Canton McKinley. I know you. I caught you had a note or two about him throughout the Senior Bowl. Your thoughts on him, and the Browns could be looking for a tight end too. That's why I'm fascinated by this kid to see if maybe he has a chance to come home.
Well, it's an outstanding tight end class. I mean, from the first round to the seventh round, there's a lot of quality tight ends in this group. And Harold Fannin Jr. is right there in that mix. A likely day two pick, probably in the third round, is where he's going to come off the board. Really, you know, he's straight line explosive, a little awkwardly athletic. But, you know, he uses that speed where he can challenge defenses both vertically and horizontally. And he catches everything. I mean, the ball just rarely hits the ground. He's got some juice after the catch. You see a physical stiff arm. You see him, he has the balance where he's going to carry tacklers for extra yards. The adjustment that he has downfield is really impressive. He's a little bit undersized for a tight end, maybe more of an H-back, more of an F. But he's a guy that you can use across the formation. That's how Bowling Green used him. He played their A tight end position, which was really a weapon for them, and they schemed him across the formation, used him in different ways. I mean, a third of his snaps were in the slot. He would line up out wide as a receiver, and so there's some versatility there. And he's also just a young player, still just 20 years old, still learning things. So you look at the upside that he has to offer, and it's like, okay, you know, we can do something with that, even if it might look a little bit different from some of these other tight ends. But like I said, it's a loaded tight end class. Plenty of these guys are going to go in the top 50, top 60 picks, guys that look like future NFL starters.
Dane Brugler.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dane, there are a couple of guys that are on NFL rosters out of last year's draft whose names get floated out there. J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota. We would all assume that he's going to stay in Minnesota and they're going to move on from Sam Darnold. I'd love your thoughts on that. And another former Michigan quarterback, Joe Milton, who went to New England along with Drake May and played in one game and looked okay. What do you think of those two young guys?
Yeah, well, with McCarthy, I don't see any reason why the Vikings would, you know, even with the factor in the injury as well. You know, you, as a team that would be looking to trade for him, that becomes a factor as well. Where is he in his rehab and development? Any long-term concerns with the knee? So that's a factor as well. But first and foremost, I don't see the Vikings looking to unload J.J. McCarthy. Obviously, they liked him enough to draft him in the first round last year. They're still believers. And while Sam Darnold had a heck of a year, you know, it's not an easy situation to just, you know, he's going to demand a lot of money. And it's not as simple as franchising him either, because that's a high tag number. So I think it's more likely they move on from Sam Darnold rather than I think the most likely situation is they move on from Sam Darnold. The number two most likely is they keep both. They find a way to keep both of them for next year. And then third would be to hold on to Sam Darnold and trade J.J. McCarthy. I don't see it happening. I think it's a non-factor for them. With Joe Milton, you know, he's always had the talent. It's never been about, you know, is he talented enough? I mean, this guy is 6'5", right, just under 250 pounds, big kid. The arm is remarkable, and we saw it. We saw it at Michigan. We saw it at Tennessee. You know, he can you know, throw it through a brick wall, but it's all about consistency with him. And while he did pretty well in week 18 for the Patriots when he got a chance to get on the field, did a nice job in the preseason. You know, a year ago at this time, teams were talking about him as a tight end convert just because of just the inconsistencies that he showed. And you know, 6 years in college, wasn't until his final year that he really became a starter. And so there's still plenty of questions about can he do it consistently throughout four quarters of a game, throughout 17-game schedule. And so I don't, you know, if you're the Patriots, unless someone blows you away with an offer, which I don't think anybody would, you know, why are you just going to trade him when, you know, you don't know if something might happen with Drake May or something like that with an injury. So I don't see any way that they just give away, you know, Milton for a fourth round pick. And if you're an NFL team and you didn't draft him early last year, I doubt you're giving anything more than a fourth round pick to roll the dice on Joe Milton. So in my opinion, I don't think J.J. McCarthy or Joe Milton will be traded this offseason.
If you're the Browns and you have Nick Chubb coming back from injury, and you hope that he's back on your team next year, at least I know the fan base certainly does, and a draft that's supposed to be, correct me if I'm wrong, pretty deep in running backs. How low can you go, Dane, and get a guy that you think could come in and be a starting running back for you? How long could you wait?
Yeah, I mean, you can wait to the third or fourth round and still feel confident that you're getting someone that you can add to the mix and is going to help you immediately. There are a dozen running backs in this draft that you can make an argument should be drafted in the top 100. I don't think all 12 will be, but that just speaks to the depth of this group and how many good players will still be available when we get to day three. So, you know, and that's maybe the biggest reason why Ashton Jeanty from Boise State, even though he's one of the top 10 players in this draft, he might not go in the top 10 because of the running back position being what it is, and not every team looking to draft that position high, but also the depth of this class. And teams will look at it and say, you know, we'll get our corner, we'll get our offensive tackle here in the top 10, and we feel great getting a Travion Henderson in the second round, a Quinshon Judkins in the third round. You know, R.J. Harvey from UCF did a great job at the Senior Bowl, so did Devin Neal. We can go on and on with these running backs. There's a lot of guys that are really talented that can come in and play a role for you immediately. So, yeah, this is a running back year where if you were looking for someone to add to the mix and help your offense pretty quickly, you can afford to wait to the third or fourth round and still feel confident you're getting someone that can fill that role.
Dane, last thing, after hanging out of the Senior Bowl, did you leave there thinking anything more solid position-wise about the Browns than you did before you went?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I think I was hoping one of the quarterbacks in Mobile would have kind of taken the reins and said, hey, I'm clearly a top 50 pick. And I don't think that happened. That doesn't mean that a Jalen Milroe, a Jackson Dart, that they won't go top 50. But nothing they did in Mobile really stood out as a statement that says, okay, I should be drafted that high. But, you know, obviously this team is going to be looking at quarterback throughout the entire process. You know, we're about to get to the combine here in 3 weeks. That'll be a big step. Once the coaches get more involved, and that's why the Senior Bowl is so big. The coaches get involved for the first time. They get to learn these guys as people, just see, you know, what they're like and how they might fit culturally. And that'll continue at the combine when they have a chance to sit down and interview with all these quarterbacks. And so that's a big part of the process is who do they connect with as people during the interview process. That's as much a factor as what the tape says with who the Browns will be looking at quarterback in this draft.
Dane, thank you very much. As always, great coverage on The Athletic, on the NFL draft. If you want to know all about it, go read The Beast, Dane's Bible about the NFL draft for 2025. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Dane.
Anytime. Take care, guys.
Dane joining us in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.